Good morning, church. I hope you'll bear with me, and I'll try and make it interesting. 1 Samuel 7, verse 1 to 14. So the men of Kiriath-Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord. They brought it to Abinadab's house on the hill and consecrated Eleazar, his son, to the guard, the ark of the Lord. The ark remained at Kiriath-Jearim a long time, 20 years in all. Then all the people of Israel turned back to the Lord. So Samuel said to all the Israelites,
if you return it to the Lord with all your heart, then rid yourself of the foreign god and Ashtoreth, and commit yourself to the Lord, and serve him only, and he'll deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines.
So the Israelites put away their Baals and Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. Then Samuel said,
assemble all of Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you.
When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day they fasted and they confessed,
we have sinned against the Lord.
Now Samuel was serving as leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. When the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. They said to Samuel,
do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hands of the Philistines.
Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and sacrificed it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. When Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying,
this far the Lord has helped us.
So the Philistines were subdued, and they stopped invading Israel's territory. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. The towns from Ekron to Gath that the Philistines had captured from Israel were restored to Israel, and Israel delivered the neighboring territory from the hands of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Amen.
I just want to speak fairly briefly on Ebenezer. Ebenezer, God turns defeat into victory. And from this passage in 1 Samuel chapter 7. And my first point is Rock Christian Center is an example of Ebenezer because God has turned defeat into victory. The testimony of this church is Ebenezer. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. Up to this point, the Lord has helped us. It's only with the Lord's help, it's only with his power that Rock Christian Center has survived, that it's grown, that it's developed, that it's thrived over these past 25 years. So the church itself, Rock Christian Center, is a testimony of God's victory in impossible situations. Praise God. 25 years ago, it seemed an impossible dream that God could plant a church with just 6 people in a Muslim-dominated, deprived community. They had no finance, they had no building, they had no structure, they had no important people, but God did it. Praise God. 22 years ago, when God led myself and Trish and the family up here, It looked a hopeless situation. We've got to be honest. There were 30 or 40 meeting upstairs in the derelict engineering works rented from the owner of the onion pickling factory. We were the only church in the world that met in an onion pickling factory, and it smelt. And there was no worship leader, as you've seen. There were no resources. There was very little money. They couldn't guarantee that they could pay me as a pastor. Some left the church before I even started. They heard that we were coming and decided they would go. Others had told me that they were thinking of leaving because it looked a hopeless situation. But God has turned defeat into victory. Amen? I presented the fourfold vision of growth from Acts 2, chapter 2, but it was God who bought the growth. It's been God who's bought the development. It's been God who's bought the multiplication. You know, churches in Burngreave and Pitsmoor that were well established, that were better off, that were bigger than Rock Christian Centre, have sadly declined and closed over the past 25 years. Denholm Free Church, Grace Reformed Christian Fellowship, Grimesthorpe Wesleyan Reformed, Pitsmoor Methodist have all closed in the past 25 years. St. Peter's Ellesmere, St. James Scott Road are both at a very low ebb. The local churches around us sadly have been in decline, but God has brought multiplication growth to Rock Christian Centre. Praise God. We've launched significant outreach projects like Street Pastors and Burngreave Food Bank and the Lighthouse and the Burngreave Cadet Centre, the Word for Weapons, Gun and Knife Amnesty Bin. You know, God has grown this church in a deprived Muslim-dominated community. Ebenezer, the Lord has done it. The Lord has helped us thus far. God has enabled us to defy all expectations, to buy our own buildings, to pay them off in full. We can truly say, Ebenezer, thus far, the Lord has helped us. He's given us the victory in seemingly impossible situations. So let's turn just for a moment to 1 Samuel, where God turns defeat into victory. My first point is that Israel's corruption and immorality leads to defeat. So 1 Samuel, if you know your Bible, you'll know that 1 Samuel starts with the story of Hannah and the promise and the eventual birth of Samuel. And that is God's miraculous provision of the future spiritual and political leader of Israel. The spiritual state of Israel has become so bad that God has to press the reset button. He has to press the reset button of spiritual leadership with the provision of God's anointed leader, Samuel. Eli is the weak, unspiritual high priest who has fattened himself on power and position. His sons, Hophni and Eleazar, are out of control. They have no respect for God. They have no respect for the Ark of the Covenant. They are corrupt. They're stealing from people and from the Lord. They're immoral. They are abusing their positions as priests. They are sexually abusing, probably raping, tragically, the young girls who've come to serve the Lord at the Ark of the Tabernacle. Even Eli himself calls his own sons wicked because of their behavior. Who knows that God hates abuse? Do we know that? God hates injustice. God hates extortion. God hates wickedness in society, let alone those things in the church of God, in church, in God's house. In God's name. Don't ever think that God won't punish sin, particularly sin in churches and among Christian leaders. He may allow things to continue for a while, but judgment will surely come because God is a God of justice and righteousness. And judgment came to Israel. The unthinkable happens. They took the Ark of the Covenant into battle with them against the Philistines. Surely God would give them the victory. They were taking God's presence, God's power with them into battle. They were taking this wonderful Ark of the Covenant into battle. It was a guarantee, you know, it was going to be a lucky charm for Israel. But you see, God and his sacred Ark is never going to be treated as a lucky charm, guaranteeing victory when there was appalling sin in Israel. And the tragedy of that story is in the early chapters of 1 Samuel is Israel is defeated. The sacred Ark of the Covenant is captured. Eli's wicked sons are killed. Thousands of Israelite soldiers lose their lives. The nation is defeated. Eli himself dies of shock. It's a desperate situation of defeat and despair and hopelessness. And if you know the story, you'll know the Philistines find the Ark is literally too hot to handle. They return it to Israel, but Israel themselves can't handle it either. They are defeated, they are demoralized, they are in mourning, and the Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of God's presence, is left abandoned in Kiriath-Jearim for 20 long years before Israel eventually begins to seek the Lord again. And then we have, secondly, Samuel's spiritual challenge. In verses 2 to 4 of chapter 7, we're told, then all the people of Israel turn back to the Lord. Who knew that that was the beginning of hope? When people turn back to the Lord, that is the beginning of change and hope. So Samuel said to all the Israelites, if you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtaroths and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So the Israelites put away their Baals and their Ashtaroths and serve the Lord only. The people of Israel begin to wake up. They realize that the defeated, demoralized state of the nation of Israel was because they had turned their backs on the one true God. Does that sound familiar to today? Israel was worshipping foreign gods and fertility rites. That's what Ashtoreth poles were all about. Fertility rites. The state of their nation showed that they were under God's judgments. But God had miraculously provided Samuel to be their savior and their spiritual leader. And Samuel calls the nation back to God. He challenges them to get rid of the foreign gods and the immoral fertility rites and only worship and serve Yahweh, the one true God. Serve him and him alone. He challenges them to return to the Lord with all their hearts, to obey the commandment that God has said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength and all your mind. You can't be doing that if you're also worshipping Baal and fertility gods. And after 20 years, more than 20 years of sin and defeat and despair and mourning, at last the Israelites are doing the right thing. They're coming back to Yahweh, the Lord. And then the Philistines attack. Who knows it, knows that the enemy never likes it when we start to turn back to God. Do you know that? Just wave at me if you know that. Now, when you start to turn back to God, you can be sure the enemy never likes it. He doesn't like it. The devil never wants to lose his power and his grip on our lives. The Christian life is not a playground. It is a battleground. There are forces of evil that work against us in that sense. And the devil never wants to lose his grip, power and grip on our lives, on our churches, or on our nation. Don't be surprised when you come under attack, when you decide to turn to God. It's been happening for thousands of years. It happened right back here in 1 Samuel 7. The enemy, the Philistines, here Israel, have assembled at Mizpah to get right with God. This is their great opportunity to destroy Israel. All Israel is gathered in one place. It's a spiritual gathering. They will be weak because of their fasting. They won't be armed. They won't be ready for battle because they're spiritually seeking the Lord. This was the Philistines' great opportunity to annihilate the Israelites. They were all there in one place. And so they come from the Gaza Strip. It's interesting, isn't it? Did you know the Philistines were the sea people and they had invaded and they lived in the Gaza Strip? It's amazing how politics keep on returning around, doesn't it? So they were living in Gaza. They come from the Gaza Strip and they invade Israel. And they come to attack the Israelites at Mizpah. And when the people of Israel hear the Philistines are coming, they are filled with fear. They know they are vulnerable. They know they are weak. They know that they're in a desperate situation. Only the Lord himself can save them. And they urge Samuel to continue crying out to the Lord to rescue them. But praise God, the Lord turned defeat into victory. He turned defeat into victory. And that's what he does. He turns defeat into victory. Symbolically, Samuel sacrifices a lamb as a burnt offering to Yahweh the Lord. He cries out to the Lord on behalf of Israel. He intercedes for them. And we read the beautiful words. And Yahweh, the Lord, Yahweh is the name of the Lord God Almighty that was revealed to Moses in the burning bush. The Lord answered him. The Lord answered him. He cried out to the Lord. And it tells us the Lord answers him. As Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offerings, the Philistines were right upon them. They were about to start killing the Israelites, but the Lord intervened. Verse 10 says, while Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offerings, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day, the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them all the way to a point below Beth Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and he named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they stopped invading Israel's territory. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. The Lord broke through for them, praise God. The Philistines thought they were easy meat. They thought they were vulnerable. They thought they were weak. They tried to pounce on them when they were doing church, when they were seeking God, when they were unarmed, when they were vulnerable, but they didn't bargain for the Lord fighting on their behalf. You see, the enemy never understands that when we're broken before God, when we are wholeheartedly seeking God, when we are worshiping God, we are at our strongest, not our weakest. With God on our side, we will never be defeated. Amen? With God on our side, we will never be defeated. God breaks out against the Philistines. They're routed before the Israelites. They're defeated by the ones they came to defeat. And their power is broken, so they never again pose a threat to Israel for the rest of Samuel's lifetime. Praise God. And the land and towns the Philistines had captured from Israel are restored to Israel. Notice that. Israelites in bondage to the enemy were delivered and set free. Through the Lord God Almighty, defeat was turned into victory. Fear was turned into faith. Lost territory was regained and restored. God's people were delivered and set free. God's people enjoyed peace instead of terror and bloodshed. No wonder Samuel set up a memorial stone between Mizpah and Shen and said, Ebenezer, thus far, the God, the Lord, has helped us. Ebenezer means stone of help. God had intervened to give Israel victory over their enemies. God has done amazing things for us as a church over the past 25 years. This building, the building next door, the lighthouse, stand as our Ebenezer memorial. Thus far, the Lord has helped us, praise God. Thus far, the Lord has done amazing things for us. All praise and glory to his name. Are you struggling with defeat? Are you struggling with fear? Are you struggling with failure? Do you feel at the moment that you're under enemy occupation? Is everything going wrong for you personally in your life? We see in this story that when we get right with God, when we confess our sins, when we get rid of sin in our lives, the Lord fights the battles for us. Amen? He can turn defeat, the defeat that you're experiencing at this present time, into victory. He can turn mourning into joy. He can turn captivity into freedom. He can turn constant battles into his peace. The Lord is the one who can restore and recover what was lost for you. Don't ever forget what the Lord has done for you. You can set up your own Ebenezer testimony stone, declaring in your own life, thus far, the Lord has helped me. Thus far, the Lord has helped me. The Lord has done great things in my life. The Lord has answered my prayers. It is marvelous in my eyes. So as you look to the future, and as we as a church look to the future, make sure you stay right with God. Confess your sin. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. See the Lord mightily at work in your life. I find it humbling. No, we're just ordinary folk who God, in sometimes, I say it reverently, amazing, almost insanity, chooses to use in his service. And you know, it's humbling when you realize that God has used you. And it's marvelous in our eyes what he's done. He's done what is otherwise impossible. Praise God. Praise God. Let's stand together, shall we? Ask Franco and the team to come forward.